Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. I might not normally do this very often, but sometimes I do. We're going to continue in Ephesians instead of another service separately because I just hate to break it again. And Ephesians chapter 2, we want to go to verse 12. This is a continuation of the first service, which was a continuation of another service. So this is actually the third service on Ephesians chapter 2. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. And we talk about this all the time, 11, 12, and 13, but we can talk about it a little bit differently. That at that time, what time? In time past, ye, remember this is plural, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having how much hope?
No hope.
And without God in the world. Notice it says it. I want to stress it. Without Christ, without God, without hope, without God. That's time past. That's the Ephesians. Now, our only hope is in verse 13. Let's look at it. Man, I'm telling you, I just love the but nows in the scripture. Mm-hmm. But now, Ephesians 2:13. In Christ Jesus. How did you get in Christ Jesus? You were baptized, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, which is a baptism of the Spirit, not in water. But now in Christ Jesus, you, plural again, who sometimes were far off, and we were, are made nigh. We're made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. You know, the blood of Christ, He suffered and bled. But I've told you so many times before, when I related back to the foreshadowing of over in Exodus 12 on the Passover, Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. I just have to talk about it right here. The blood of Christ didn't save anybody when it run out on the ground. You have to trust the gospel. To me, whenever you trust that gospel, that's the application of the blood. Because it is the blood of Christ. What did the blood of Christ do if you don't trust the gospel? Right? It don't do you any good. So sometimes people just can't see it. Now, we, us people in this room, Colossians, Ephesians, etc., we're made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. So, I want you to see this. I've told you this before. This may be a little different terminology, but I've stressed this before. I want to stress it again. So, this is true by the cross, but not at the cross. Do you see the difference? Why wasn't it at the cross?
Because the finish is empty.
It wasn't revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. That's why. But it happened by the work at the cross, but not at the cross that we were made nigh. Because that was a mystery of Christ. It was kept secret, hid, unsearchable, untraceable. I think that's a lot of people, they mess up those two words. They'll go back and say, well, that happened at the cross. Well, how come we couldn't be saved during the gospel of Christ preaching then? If it all happened at the cross.
It was not available yet.
It wasn't available. It was by the cross, but it wasn't at the cross. Y'all know. It was a mystery, unsearchable, hid in God. Until He took that old Pharisee, a little short, probably bald-headed little guy, Jew, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, someone who had excelled above all his peers, taught by the best instructor in prophecy and in the Old Testament scriptures, Gamaliel, and he exceeded above in every peer that he had. Can you imagine Paul on your trail, knowing that he was going to try to arrest you or give consent like he did until Stephen's death because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Man, oh man, oh man. Now, this mystery of Christ has everything to do. I want you to see that. We've talked about this before, but this is in a different context. Everything to do with Paul's Y'all remember me talking to you about the temple vision?
Mm-hmm. Acts 22.
In Acts 22, let's go there. Acts 22. This was, and I'll tell you right up front, this is the fourth trip to Jerusalem. Verse 21. Now, you got to see, I think I'll just back up and read some.
18.
I'm going to start in 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, this is his fourth trip, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, he's talking about Jesus Christ, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Verse 21. And he said unto me, depart. This is what Christ said unto Paul. Depart, for I will. And we're going to talk about that. I will send thee for hence unto the Gentiles. I will is a future tense. Okay. Well, let's compare another verse. Acts 26. Now, this is a kind of a recap of and new information of Acts 9. I want you to see the differences in it. This was at the time of Acts 9. He says, delivering thee from the people. He's talking about delivering Paul from the people. Who is the people? Israel. And the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. You see the difference? He says, now I send thee in Acts 22. And it says, I will send thee in Acts 26.
That's good. I like that.
I think I stated
it
wrong.
Yeah.
I said it backwards. Now let's get that right.
Yeah.
Now I send thee of Acts
22.
No.
26.
Now.
Until now, it's Acts 26, 17. And in Acts 22:21,
I will
send thee. So there's two different things here. Now, two different sendings. Now, that's the reason that Paul, he's speaking to these Ephesians, and he's talking about this. Remember that I mentioned a while ago in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. I said, this grace. Y'all remember that? He got grace. This is a prison epistle. He got grace from the Lord. He got further revelations. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. How about going there? Don't lose your place, but go. Well, we're not going to be in Acts anymore. So look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, for this cause. Ephesians chapter 1. Well, what is this cause? It's called this grace. Of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. That's this cause. It's for this grace. It makes sense to me. Now. But now, in Ephesians 2:13, we know it's in contrast to in time past to today. Until he was teaching to these Ephesians. So all of the truth of the book of Ephesians is possible by the cross, but not at the cross. Nobody, absolutely nobody, could have believed this truth, this information that we're talking about, until it was made known. And it was not made known until the Lord chose and sent the Apostle Paul and gave him the revelations. Did he give this revelation to the Commonwealth of Israel? No, he didn't. He gave it to us, people who were strangers from the covenants of promise.
This is the clarification in verse 13, chapter 2, which is really strong. You know, for he's our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It's not just the Jews. That was the Galatians, the Thessalonians. They were all on that side of the wall.
Well, let's talk about that real quick.
Here we go.
See,
not Israel.
Not just.
Everything in the mind of God took place out here in infinity past. But this we just got through talking about by the cross, by the work of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't revealed. It happened at the cross. But right here, This breaking down of Ephesians 2:14 is, I'm going to tell you, there's people out there, even in the grace movement, who believe this middle wall was right here. It's not. The middle wall is between the people who were believing and trusting the gospel of Christ, the remnant, in Romans 11, is it 5 or 7? It's a remnant by the election of grace. They're the ones, the Jew and the Greek, the people in the book of Acts, who were blessed, they were in the covenants of promise and so forth. They called Abraham father. They were in this group right here. We, the Ephesians, Colossians, and everybody today, we're not in that group. So there was a middle wall here. We're fixing to talk about some of those things, the middle wall. But until this middle wall was removed, yeah, it came out back there, but it was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Then this middle wall came out, and the mystery that we've done read about, the mystery of Christ, is that now us ungodly Gentiles who were in this here can now be saved into the same body. There's not two bodies, never have been two bodies. They've been two sections of people. As a matter of fact, they're called twain. We'll get to that. But that's right. That middle wall had to come out. And we're going to talk about what that middle wall is here. If you study a lot, you're going to see that something is going to be revealed to you. And this didn't happen that we're talking about when he got the temple vision. It didn't happen in Acts chapter 9. It didn't happen in Acts chapter 13. And it didn't even happen in Acts chapter 28 when they were cast away. Remember I told you in Acts 7, Israel fell, right? They started diminishing according to Romans chapter 11, I believe, verse 15. Then at the end of the book of Acts, they were cast away. Israel was cast away. They became lo am I according to Hosea chapter 1. I believe it's 8 and 9. Okay? But it most likely happened when Paul got this information at Acts 18. Let's look at it. Acts 18, verse 22. We covered some of this last week. You know, sometimes I try to follow this outline and it's pretty hard. I get carried away. So I told you something probably last week I was supposed to wait until today to do. Now, Acts 18:22. Now, if you remember here, he had took Aquila and Priscilla in verse 18, who were also tent makers, and he took them to Ephesus. And they were in the synagogue over there. You know, and it said in verse 19, and he came to Ephesus, not to the Ephesians, but the people in the covenants of promise there in the synagogue, and left them, who is them, Priscilla and Aquila, there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews, because he was a Jew. When they desired him to tarry, stay longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus, right here in 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, this is the temple vision that he had there, and that's his fourth visit. Then they didn't keep him there. He went down to Antioch. And he made himself all the way back. It happened right there. That temple vision did. The Lord told him what was going to take place. Yes, Scott?
So you're saying the Acts 18:22 is the one we read about in Acts 22?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Absolutely. That's the one. So, you've got this set up. But I want you to see that Paul was not specifically sent at the time of Acts 18:22. That's when he got it. He got it. So that's when Paul had the temple vision. But how come he couldn't come out and start teaching all of this gospel of the grace of God? Well, he had it. But he had some work he needed to accomplish first for the Lord. He wasn't through with the gospel of Christ. And we're fixing to take a look at that shortly. Look at Romans 15, would you? He wanted to fulfill what the Lord said in that vision, and that was to fully preach the gospel of Christ. Now let's look at Romans 15.
That's why he worked his way all the way to Rome.
He did.
To get all the Jews in Rome.
Absolutely. Romans 15, 19. He says, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I can't even pronounce that right, Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He had to fully preach the gospel of Christ to all people before he could start preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Go to verse 29. He says, I am sure, same chapter 15 of Romans, and I am sure that when I come unto you, Paul writes, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. In other words, the fullness that I have preached the gospel of Christ to everybody. Done deal. He had to get it out of the way. In Acts chapter 20, let's take a look at that. In Acts chapter 20, verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. They were out trying to stone him, kill him, throw him overboard, do anything they could. If they had cars at that time, they'd have drug him behind a bumper somewhere. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Here's what he did. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Was anything in there about you? No. He was testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save, except that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. The Holy Ghost was giving Paul what he needed, telling him he was going to be in bonds, etc. But none of these things move me. What about yourself when you're witnessing the gospel of the grace of God? Does any of these things move you, that you may be losing your friends? That you may be outcast from your clubs? Paul didn't care. And that's the way we ought to be. Because if you are concerned about how people treat you in this world, when you're telling them the truth of the gospel so that they can be saved, you're just not doing the job. Be humble about it. But none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course, which with joy in the ministry which I have received, past tense, I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of God, the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, bunch of you, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. He is letting them know, you're not going to ever see me again. You're not going to see me. Who is he preaching to? The Jews and the Greeks. The gospel of Christ. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. Now here's what I read all of that to get to this one verse. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You, all the counsel of God. He's taught them everything that they need to know. He's established people in faith. He sent Timothy and Silas out to establish other people like the Thessalonians and so forth. Now, so that's what's taking place. In Acts 20, 22, we've read it, 23, 24, 25 through 27. It's all about the the future, he's saying, I finished up. I've preached all the counsel of God. He was supposed to preach it. He fulfilled God's wishes or wants. The Lord wanted him to do it. That's why he preached it. And he says, you are not going to see my face anymore. So he knew he was going, and there's no doubt in my mind, he knew he probably was going to be martyred. Because you're not going to see me anymore. I've got an extended part of this ministry, and it's to the ungodly Gentiles, and he knew it. And he's going to Jerusalem, and he knows sooner or later he's probably going to be arrested. He also knows he's probably going to be martyred. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2:14, hopefully you're following me. Ephesians 2:14. I'm going to read 13 to lead into it. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace, that Dave read. Who is? Jesus Christ is. He is our peace. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God, who hath made both one, both peoples, the ungodlies and those that were in the covenants of promise. He's made both one. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It happened right there. Having abolished, and he tells you what he did, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, my goodness, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain two, one new man, so making peace. Now, verse 16, and that he might reconcile both. That's the ungodly Gentiles along with the people in the covenants of promise, whoever they were, unto God in one body, by the cross. Remember? By the cross. Having slain the enmity, the hatred thereby. That's what it says. Now, some people try to tell you that this is just a mere reference to the law. It's not. It includes something else. It includes handwritten ordinances. Handwritten ordinances. You know, when you do this study, you'd always learn something. You just do. Handwritten ordinances. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 2, what did Paul tell to Peter, James, and John? He says, that gospel that I preach. So Paul went up by direct revelation, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, to communicate something. And that communication was to be that gospel that I preach. At this time in Galatians 2, 2, it was the gospel of Christ. But in Acts 15, I want you to go there because this is important. Acts 15. Now, I know we don't have to cover this, but I'm going to mention it in case somebody's missed it on the tape or whatever, or at the audience, or even in here. My gospel of Romans 2:16 is the same my gospel over in Timothy. One's the pre-prison, one's the prison epistles. They're the same saving salvation, but it's to different audiences. And the name changed when the middle wall came out. It's to everyone now, to the Jews, the Greeks, the regular ungodly Gentiles. It's the gospel that saves. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's no longer called the gospel of Christ. And why preachers continue to call it the gospel of Christ, I don't have a clue. It's not it. Still the same saving salvation. So let's get that out of the way. Now, but in Acts chapter 15, I love this. Verse 20. You know, there were certain men that was following up Paul and saying, hey, you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. So Paul got bent out of shape. He said it was not a small dispensation. What is it?
Disputation.
Small dissension. Dissension. And disputation. It was a big deal. So Paul and Barnabas, they went over there to see James, who is now, he's the half-brother of Jesus Christ. The other James got his head cut off in Acts chapter 12, the apostle did. So we know it's not him. So they went over there, and James, the half-brother of Christ, was in charge over there. Okay? So in verse 20, I want you to see. In verse 20, he says, this is James, but that we write unto them that they, he's talking about the people in the gospel, in the body of Christ, the Jews and the Greeks, it's not you, that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Okay? Well, but from fornication in this case here is idolatry. Fornication, you've got two different meanings. One is to have sexual intercourse. The other is for idolatry. So, if you'll notice, pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So during the time of the book of Acts, Paul went where? To the synagogues. The law of Moses was preached in those synagogues every time the doors were opened up. And he, Paul, delivered ordinances for them to keep. Those people in the synagogues who had trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But I want you to go back up to verse 20. James says, but that we write. James wrote those ordinances. He came up with those ordinances. You ever think about that? In Acts 16:4, let's look at it. So Paul, he went back to, I guess, Antioch. I think that's where he was at. But he went back in Acts 16:4. Let's see. And as they went through the cities, Silas went out on their missionary journey. They, whoever was with Paul, and I know Silas was, delivered them, what is them? Those written ordinances of Acts 15:20 that James had given. Those four things that we just read about. They delivered them, those ordinances, the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. It did not say that they were ordained of God. It said they were ordained by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. They are the ones who wrote those things for those people to keep. I never knew that before. I didn't. I said, wow. I'm telling you, you may have all known it. I didn't know that. It shocked me when I saw that. And I've read it so many times. You continue to read, and you didn't. When you get through, you reread. Because by the time you read it again, you've already learned something else. It's going to help you understand the next time you read through it. You're going to get more information from it. It's a living organism. It's a living book. God spoke in this book. The Holy Spirit taught Paul and other writers, about 40 writers, to write this book. It's a real deal. But the apostles and the elders wrote these ordinances, and Paul took them back and made and commanded these people. He delivered them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Because you see, before I read this, back I told you that for Moses in Acts 15:21, Moses of old time, he has in every city, there's a synagogue. Them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Well, what is that? That's the Torah. That includes the law of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and everything, and all those 613. The Big Ten and plus the other 603. But now, those apostles, I want to stress this, the apostles and elders come up with four that they wrote themselves and give it to Paul, so you go back and you teach it to your people. And this is where we're at. And in 1 Corinthians 11, 2, Paul says, now I praise you, brethren. He's talking to saved people here. It's not his brothers. They're brothers in Christ. That you, plural, ye remember. But he still ain't talking to us, but this applies. Not to us, but only to those in the covenants of promise over there who were first in the body of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me remember Paul, in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. He didn't say to keep the law of Moses or keep some of the things of the law of Moses. He said, you keep the things that I delivered unto you. And actually, he could have said, which I received from the apostles and elders, and James was in charge and sent me back with them. So, how many ordinances are there today to keep? None. There's no enmity today, but enmity or hatred between those who were formerly associated in the teaching of the gospel of Christ in the body of Christ, who were there first, with any of us. We don't have any adversarial relationship, even though they're done dead and gone. The fact of it is, we're in the same body. That's the mystery of Christ, of Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians chapter 3. But the fact of it is, we don't have any of that. Do not have any of it. And as a matter of fact, we talked about this. We don't have to bless Israel. Why? One of the reasons. There ain't no Israel here today to bless. Somebody, yesterday or the day before, as a matter of fact, it's one of the guys that's working at the church today. Knows a lot of Bible. It's Pentecostal. But he don't know what it says. He can quote you, but he don't know what it says. Good. I like the guy. And he was somewhere where he was a captive audience, I'll say that. And he had people come through preaching. Now, he said, you got to bless the seed you got to bless Israel. I said, why? Well, and back in 1948, I don't care about what happened in 1948, when Israel was made a nation, but not by God, but by the United Nations. United Nations has no hold on me. They don't dictate what is a nation and what isn't when it comes to God's plan. That's the worldly plan. That's where the New World Order comes from. Anyway, there is no nation. Israel has been done what? Cast among the nations. Scattered. And they became what? Lo, am I are not God's people. You can look it up. Hosea chapter 1. Look at verses 8 and 9, I believe it is, or 9 and 10. 9? Yeah. Now, let's go on. Let's move on. In Ephesians 2:17. But today, the gospel of the grace of God bringeth salvation to all people has appeared to all men. You know the will of the Father is that God will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want any single person left behind. And you know, God's not blessing America. I just hate to hear that. Oh, this country has got to repent before it's going to be blessed. God's not dealing with a nation, whether it be America, Israel, or Cambodia, okay? He's dealing with individual people, not a nation. It's just so simple, guys. It's like for a sixth grader can understand this. If you're having a problem on it, you need to check your faith, see if you're in the faith. You're not going to understand everything, and neither do I. But the fact of it is, some simple things you need to understand. And we'll read why, but not right this minute. In Ephesians 2:17, and came Paul and preached to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Now, notice.
Left out a word.
Huh?
Preached peace.
I left that off. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Now, there's a contrast here. Those who were afar off and those who are nigh. There's a difference, ain't there? Either you're close or you ain't. You're married or you ain't. You're alive or you're dead. There's a difference. Now, those who were afar off are our ancestors. And they were the same very people that Paul wrote this Ephesians letter to. They match who? They match us, the people of today. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through Jesus Christ, we both, the people who were preached to back over before the middle wall was ripped out, removed, and us ungodly Gentiles that came out, we're all in one body. I want to emphasize, one body. Never been two bodies. You're going to hear some grace preachers do that. They're called Acts 28ers. So they'll be going along real good, and pretty soon you're going to hear something like that. But there was two bodies. You really got, when somebody, including myself.
Are they meaning that Peter's group is one body?
No, that's a different. You've got some grace preachers out here who believe that Peter and Cornelius and all the 12 and all the little flocks in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You got them. Get away from them. The fact of it is, it's not good. See, the word that causes them to believe that is the word in Christ. Those who are in Christ shall rise first. Well, that's at the rapture. Peter, James, and John, we know according to Acts chapter 3, 19, 20, and 21, they're not going to get their salvation until Jesus Christ comes back at the second coming, not at the rapture.
Right.
We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ while they're still here in the ground, because they're already deceased. But the word in Christ just throws a lot of people. We're in Christ. Our position is in Christ. But their position is in Christ. Peter, well, I'll say the little flock. They're in Christ redemptively. Redemptively. See, if they were still alive, they had to endure until the end of their life to be saved. And Ananias and, what was it? Sapphira. who was it?
Yeah. Ananias and Sapphira.
What happened to them? They lied to the Holy Spirit. God killed them. Their name was stricken out of the book of life. Our name cannot be stricken out of the book of life because we're not in it. Anyway, back to where I was doing. We both have access. I want you to see who both was. Those people that's in the body of Christ before the middle wall and us now. Who is the us now? The Jews are low in mind. We're all preaching the same gospel to the Jews, to the Greeks, to the proselytes, to ungodly heathens like us. We're all under one umbrella, and that's why the gospel of the grace of God is being preached to everybody on the earth. Supposed to be. We can all be saved in the body of Christ, along with those people that was keeping the ordinances, even though we don't keep ordinances. That was removed. That requirement was removed by God Himself.
Can I make a comment here?
Yep.
I really got something here a minute ago on, because you're talking about the ordinances, and Paul was ordained, which is basically a root word of ordinance. In other words, he became our ordinance. Listen to this. It says, this is found in 1 Timothy. I just hadn't turned to it. And it says, whereof I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And in the first verse of 1 Timothy, it talks about Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by commandment of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to read this other part, verse 3. It says, this, I'm going to skip a lot of this, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. So in other words, that's the teaching that was at Ephesus.
And, to the people in the synagogue.
Right, well, anyways, here it is. And I charge some that they teach no
other doctrine.
And I said, man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, that's exactly where we need to stay camped.
Yeah, right? No other doctrine. I'm telling you, if you're going to a church or your relatives are going to a church that's preaching any other doctrine than what the Apostle Paul is preaching in the prison epistles, get out of there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, put it this way, you can't, if you're saved and you're still going, you cannot lose your salvation. Why, Jim? Because you're saved. Until the day of redemption and you're completing Christ. But it will harm your ministry. It will bring you down. Instead of you trying to get them the truth, their truth is going to flow over on you because you're one against X amount of people. They think you're crazy. Jerry's got the same problem. Yes, Trish?
And you'll never realize the second part of God's will for us all to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
No,
why wouldn't you want to do what God's will is for you? You got saved. Why not try and come unto the knowledge of the truth? And you're not going to do that in a religious system.
You can't. Because it diminishes the pastor's status. It diminishes probably his pocketbook. And, you know, people go to church, and I know this, and I can tell you some real experiences about it from op. And I've told you this before, you got to tell you now. We had a service station, a break in front end shop up there, my brother and I, and right side of us was a Kersey's termite. They were pest exterminators. And they'd been in business forever. And I knew the guy, and he had sons now that's up taking over. So he was going to expand. He's up in Troy, and he's all over the place, and then he was going to expand down to Babinette. And so they stopped and got some gas one day. My brother says, "Hey, man, what you going to do down in Babinette?" He said, "First thing we're going to do is go to the largest church there. We're going to get involved there so we can help our business." That was his purpose. Well, yeah. What do you think people go to Olive for? It's to help their business. If Danny was here, he'd tell you that. He had a business. He went to Olive to help that business. People do that.
Missed out on all this stuff.
You just missed out on all these major films, man. But it's just the way it is. Plus, you get to show your new clothes and your new car and you got status. Where do you go? I go to the biggest church in the panhandle of Florida. Status. That's what you want. Just trot your butt over there and go.
I go to the best Bible study.
Yes. Let's move on, guys. I'm going to try to finish this. I am going to finish it today, whether there's anybody sitting out here or not. Damn.
See you later.
In Ephesians 2:18, for through him, Jesus Christ, we both, and I want to emphasize, we both. Who is we both? We both is a reference to those Ephesians. It always goes back to the first chapter of Ephesians 1:12, who first trusted in Christ. And it's us in Ephesians 1:13, who were strangers from the covenants of promise. That's who that we both is. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. Do you see that? You're no more strangers and foreigners from the gospel of the grace of God, but fellow citizens with the saints. Who's the saints? The saints were in that body of Christ right there. And now if you've trusted the gospel of the grace of God, you're a saint. You ain't got to have two proofs of miracles for the Catholic Church to make you a saint. Joe, I want to see your two miracles, man, before you ever come in here and got out of that Catholic church. See, I mean, what about yours? Well, first is, you got one miracle right side of you. You calmed him down. Other than that. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. He's got a household, just like you've got a household. We just happen to be members of that household. Oh, that's awesome. Strangers and foreigners was the condition of the Ephesians and such as people as us in time past. But we now know that's no longer true. The verse does not say this, and this needs to be recognized because people out here believe this. It does not say that we're fellow citizens of Israel. And it does not say that we are of spiritual Israel. And it doesn't say that we replaced Israel in replacement theology. And I'll tell you, it doesn't say that we're going to be taking other people to different planets, even though we might be, like the Mormons think, you know. And I don't believe that Satan and Jesus Christ were brothers. come on, man. All of the people of Ephesians, as you are not citizens of Israel, but of heaven. It is called the household of God, though. There's no doubt about it. We had some people, and we keep harping on this. I just keep harping on it. Who were, in time past, of Israel, the remnant. And some who were aliens from Israel, which were us. But now the whole focus is the household of God. We're in that body of Christ. And you can't get out of it. You can't get out of it.
It's a gift.
Who would want to?
You have peace with God. Right?
Amen.
And you have peace of God. There's two different things there. But man, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I could just breathe a sigh of relief. The 1,000-pound brick that was on me had just been removed. I knew right then I was never going to hell no matter what I did. But I didn't want to run out and murder somebody or rob somebody, as people say that that's what we preach. You don't do that. Actually, you're better. Yes, Jim?
You don't want to go back and help yourself out? I mean,
no! I don't want to go back.
You want to go back there? You're going to trust Him completely and what He's done?
I trust Jesus Christ in everything. I believe when He says, you are complete in Christ. I believe that. There ain't nothing left for me to do. I hadn't done anything in the first place except something that was wrong. Now, let's got two more verses, I think. You got to go. Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And we know it. That's the truth. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Well, who is this building? Talk about it. So the household of God is like a building. It's likened to a building. Paul said something over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, that know ye not that you are the temple of God? I want you to see it does not have an S on the word temple. You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You are the temple of God. I'm going to show you something shortly. But over in 1 Corinthians, we're not going to go over there. But this is a holy temple you are. There's not but one temple. A holy temple. One. There's not many temples whatsoever. But you, Y-A-Y, collectively. And I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Did you look at it? Let's look at it. Because this is important. One little two-letter word is important here. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I want you to look at the second word. Know ye, that's plural, that ye, plural, are the temple of God. If it was only for you, it would say thee. It didn't say that. This is a very key word that I had never seen. Read it a lot. Never seen it. Now understand it. Hopefully some of you will see the same thing. Maybe you've already seen it. But I haven't. Know ye, all of you, that you are, all of you, are the temple of God. One temple, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You collectively are the temple of God. Wow. Doesn't say temples. It says temple. It's the church. The body of Christ. That's what it is.
Back in the day, it was a building. Now it's us.
It's us now.
We represent God.
Yeah. Paul calls it the pillar and the ground of the truth. I want you to go to 1 Timothy 3:15. I want you to see this. So, somebody there? Somebody read that, please. 1 Timothy 3:15.
But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. The pillar and the ground of the truth is the church of the living God. Verse 22, in whom ye, again, plural, also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Plural again. You all, I could say that, y'all.
Y'all.
You all, or ye, also are built together for an habitation. We know what a habitation is. Of God through the Spirit. That changes my whole complexion and understanding of these last three scriptures here. When I see the word ye, instead of thee. Ye also, that's why I got ye, you also up there on the board. In contrast to we who, first, we're all members of the same body. We know that some became members, and this is redundant, but I got to say it again. Some became members during the book of Acts. You didn't. Nobody alive today did. And some after, and that's us. Now, I think I mentioned this last week, but the book of Ephesians was probably one of the last two letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. The last being 2 Timothy. Because he was ready to be sacrificed. He had finished his race. He was done. Now, you know, see, this is what I'm going to tell you what I believe. At the end, you know, in the first chapter of Colossians, around verse 25 or 26, it says 25. Paul filled up the Word of God. I don't believe any scripture was written after that. I believe 2 Timothy was the last book because he was ready to be sacrificed. And I do not believe Revelations was written after Paul wrote his. It had to be written because there's some problems in the scripture here if Revelation was written.
That's right.
The Word of God is the whole thing. Yeah, the theologians bring them on. We got the Word of God. We got the Word of truth. We know what to do with it. We know how to show someone to be saved. And we know how to show you what dispensation you're in and what's written to you and what isn't written to you. It's important. And the theologians don't understand it. I go on blueletterbible.com a lot of time just to search out. After I've done exhausted everything I can come up with, I go out there and see what some of those guys say. And, you know, they're not using the King James. Some of them are. They're just more kind of denominations out there than you can ever imagine in all their writings. I can't put stock in anything in there. I like old J. Vernon McGee, but he's not on top of it either. He's got some good things. J.R. Rice, those kind of things. But anyway, I'm going to leave you with this. If you haven't, even if you think you have, thinking won't get the job done. Thinking won't save you. It's a heart thing, not a head thing. You think with your head. You need to check yourself and to see, examine yourself, the scripture says, to see if you're in the faith. See if you've actually trusted what Jesus Christ did for you, not what you can think he did, but what he actually did, if you've trusted that and rely on that to stay out of hell, to be in blessings for the rest of your life, and to have eternal life. I love that Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, I mean, that's it. Yesterday.
The hardest thing for people is they give up their ego, their knowledge. They think they know it. And let the finished work of Christ handle it. And we got to get yourself out of the way. And that's very tough.
You know what I find? When I was teaching, computer science up at the college in Andalusia. And nothing but liberals up there. Really. I think I was the only, quote, conservative there. But the more education an individual has, the harder it is for them to trust the Lord.
It is the truth. Professing to become wise, they became fools.
It's just a fact. You know, I don't have a PhD. I've got a master's and a bunch of other stuff, which is dumb to me. I don't use it. But the fact of it is, the higher levels, that's where you get these theologians, these PhDs. You know, I have my cousin, you see him, he's coming through here, he's a PhD. And now he just knows everything about the Bible. At one time he was an atheist. But now he's gotten to the point that he's in the Gospels. He thinks he's saved. Prays before every meal. I mean, you know, he does this. He don't have a clue. Does he? You met him.
An educated beyond their intelligence.
Yeah. The more education you have, the harder it is for you to trust what this right here says.
Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you, and join us next week.